Alright, it is time for another episode of Community Chat. Community Chat is brought to you by Baker's Furniture. Don't forget, free delivery within the city limits of Tahlequah. Always here to help you with your furniture needs. Baker's Furniture, 3231 South Muskogee Avenue in Tahlequah. And now I want to introduce you to my guests. I've got Stone and Tumble, also known as Darla and Randy. How are we doing today?
Pretty good. How are you?
Doing great, man. We're breaking in. We're on a Sunday, so it should be pretty slow and enjoyable for folks. But I always want to get a chance to talk to people who have been in and out of Tahlequah, who've seen what it looks like outside of and back here. Can you tell me a little bit about how we wound up back here?
Yeah, well, I actually grew up down the road in Hulbert, Oklahoma.
Well, there's a rider in the house.
And I went to school in Hulbert and then went away to college. And then after college, moved away to Phoenix, Arizona and Hawaii and Tennessee. And 30 years later, I'm back here.
Cool. It all comes full circle a little bit.
You also did your undergraduate work at NSU, right?
I did.
Thank you. Another NSU alumnus.
I did.
We've got flags and banners all over the place. My morning show is actually sponsored by NSU, which is a lot of fun for me. And you went to Oklahoma?
OU.
And Sooner. Lots of mascots to remember. Oh, and you were an original Redman. I think I was the first class of River Hawks.
Yep, original Redman.
But I concurrently enrolled and dropped out of a drawing one class, so technically a dropout Redman.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, it was not the right course for me that time. It was an adjunct situation. It was pretty goofy. Anyway, that was a long, long time ago. So I know we've got a show coming up here pretty soon we did want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we playing at?
We are playing at Sunshine Nursery here in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, and also in Muskogee. So on Tuesday evening, we'll be here in Tahlequah, and Thursday evening, the 23rd, we'll be in Muskogee, 6 o'clock around that time, and you can come, bring a lawn chair, and sit and listen to us play some music and look at some beautiful plants. Bring your purse or your wallet and
maybe
just enjoy the evening.
Maybe be inspired to buy some plants.
Maybe.
And also, you want to make sure and highlight, bring the chair.
Yes.
You do not want to be without a chair at one of those situations.
Yeah, bring a chair, get comfortable. It should be a beautiful night. You can check out the Sunshine Nursery Facebook page, and they're highly encouraging people to RSVP, and I think they have some giveaways, but it's not necessary, but
sure.
Yeah, perfect. Check out Sunshine Nursery's Facebook page, and there should be an RSVP option on an event, I assume, and then they'll know what to expect. That's usually pretty good for those hosts.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so Darla, we talked about where you came from, and you've come full circle. Mm-hmm. Randy, you call this place home now or forever or before?
Well, it's home now, obviously. I grew up in Pittsburgh, went to school at West Virginia University as a mountaineer. And I moved to Phoenix back in 2000, Phoenix, Arizona, for a job, which is where I met Darla.
As you do. Jobs take you places, but sometimes better places.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great place to live in Phoenix, too. We loved being there. But we decided Darla retired a couple of years ago in 2020. When did you retire? 2020?
Yeah, a couple of years ago.
Yeah. And when she retired, we decided to move back to home.
Very cool. I like that you're calling it home. Don't worry.
But you're not from here, right, Randy?
Yeah.
So how did you meet? What was the context of the meeting?
Well, I was playing in a band there in Phoenix with a bunch of lawyers that actually did work for the company that I was working for. And we had a gig planned at a really nice little venue that we were getting ready to play. And our singer decided she had to leave to go with the governor, Janet Napolitano, at the time, who she was working for. And so we were without a singer for the gig. And so we ended up meeting Darla through some other friends. And she came over and auditioned for the gig, and she just came in and nailed it, and we just we worked with her that night. We probably learned 10 songs or something like that in a week.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And went in and played the gig and had a lot of fun.
Very cool. So were there a lot of people trying out for that spot?
No, Darla was the only one.
Nice. Lucky on your side.
Yeah.
Very cool. Now, you're not just a band. You guys have your lives together. Did you have to get over some annoyances? Did you get some little bugs? Did he say a word you didn't like, or was it just love right there?
When you say bugs, Brandon.
I mean, everybody's got ticks that you got to get over every once in a while. I meant,
well,
ticks.
You know, when Darla came in to audition for the gig, you know, she was beautiful. And I, you know, I fell in love with her the first time I saw her. And, you know, we've been together ever since, really. 20 years.
Yeah, it took us a little while to get together. We played gigs together, and it took me a little longer. Sorry, Randy.
It's all right. The cat and mouse game's pretty familiar to the fellas.
Yeah, it took me a little longer for that love bug to hit me, but once it did, yeah, we've been together now for 18 years.
Wow.
Like that.
Yeah.
I always joke about men and women that the energy, you don't pet a cat. You know, the cat comes to you. You just kind of give it an option. I feel the same way about women. You don't be too aggressive. Don't scare them off. Just be there.
Yeah.
They'll decide.
Mm-hmm. Words to live by.
Yeah, I made the mistake of making that comparison to a bunch of fourth grade boys. It went all over the place. You can only imagine. But I did. I talked to somebody else, and you know, boy energy is very puppy. It's just right in your face. It wants attention. Any kind of attention is good. Even bad attention might be fine. You know. But was it like that? Were you a little dog about it?
No, he was a gentleman.
Yeah, you were so professional by that point. It's hard for me to imagine. You're an engineer working with lawyers, with a band of lawyers. It's a very... I'd like to see it. I wish I could see it. It's hard to imagine exactly what rock and roll lawyers are like in a room.
I think it's a little bit different. I mean, you see somebody like Darla, and you think to yourself, yeah, she's a beautiful woman, you know. I'd like to spend more time with her, but you don't push it. You know, it just kind of happens over time, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And you never know what the personality is going to turn out to be.
Right.
You know, the cover gets your attention with the book, but it's got to have good content to keep you reading.
Well, it certainly made for some interesting songwriting.
Oh, yeah? I haven't gone into the back catalog, but I love the idea of the kind of Fleetwood Heart kind of mess of there's some real material out there for everybody to kind of break down.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a song you're thinking of in particular?
Well, there are many songs that I have written, and I think he's written over the years about our particular journey in life, and one in particular is called Kiss Me in the Kitchen.
Right.
And that's one of our favorite songs to perform live because it is literally about our first kiss in the kitchen.
Well, that's lovely. That's cool that you encapsulated it. I'm sure there's things that you keep for yourself and things that you share with others. Was there one that you were ever nervous about sharing with others that was kind of intimate contact or anything and you just decided, nah, this is for us? Or that you decided to play for folks and it ended up being just very, very well received?
You know, I've had a couple of those instances. There are a couple of songs that I can't even perform live, even after 20 years, just because it brings back so much pain in my life. So once I sing that song live, I'll let you know if that's the one, and you'll know. You'll see if I can get through it without crying or not. But there are those songs for sure that are really hard to get through.
Well, and this is a country music station, but I'm a music appreciator at the very base of it. And I know I heard an interview with Rivers Cuomo from Weezer, and he said once he writes a song, he almost gets to encapsulate it and put it away. So it's easier to deal with those emotions. But I like the way you look at it, too, where sometimes that's just a raw opening that's not worth getting into again.
Yeah, I could just open that wound right back up.
It just brings back a memory that hurts, right?
Right, just like a smell can, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we want to play a song to end your interview today and let that play. I know you had it prepped up for me and sent in an email. Do you want to give us a little intro to that song?
Yeah, it's like Randy and I like to write songs about what we know and what's going on in our lives, and it may sometimes not make any sense to anyone except us, but this particular song I wrote a couple years ago when he was traveling, and he sent me a text like he always does and says, "I'm on a small plane to Denver. Love you." And that's the very first line lyric in the song. And I sat down at the kitchen table and wrote the song.
I love that because you kind of you wrote a little lyric as it was. It's almost like a little hook because you didn't build up the prose and say a bunch of fluffy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's what she's good at, too, is she's a great writer. And terms of the lyrics and stuff. And I like to take, you know, the hooks. You know, we talked about Keith Richards and, you know, Keith being the, you know, the hook guy. And
that's right.
Nick writing the words, right?
Yeah, that's right. And then we've talked about this off mic before. Mike Campbell.
That's right. Mike Campbell from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. I did the same thing for Tom.
Wrote right.
A lot of them using. Tom brought the lyrics to the table, right? Turned them into something. You know, Darla, when she wrote that song, she played it on an octave mandolin, too, that I had bought her for Christmas one year.
Mm-hmm. It was just, I had just gotten it for Christmas, like a month or so ago. So I was just sort of working my way around the chords, and it's kind of a different instrument to play.
For me and the fans here, what is an octave mandolin? I don't know what that is.
Well, an octave mandolin is just kind of a bigger version of a mandolin.
It has
the same chords and the same strings, but it's a deeper, it goes down a couple of octaves lower. So literally an octave mandolin, so it has a deeper tone.
Wow, cool. Yeah, so it's still double strings with the eight and stuff?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Cool. And the song Denver, I actually start out the song playing that octave mandolin, so you'll be able to hear it.
Very cool. Well, there's a little Easter egg for the folks listening in. That's awesome.
Sarah Jarosz plays an octave mandolin, and that's kind of where we picked it up from. You know, we saw her playing
Austin City Limits.
Austin City Limits, and we were like, oh, what a great sound she gets out of that thing. So I bought one for her, and it just fits into a couple of different songs that we do.
That's cool. There's so many underappreciated instruments. You've got so much guitar, banjo, fiddle, bass, and there's tenor, mandolins and or not mandolin. What am I trying to say? Ukulele, but there's so many different stringed instruments and beyond the strings. So, are there any other instruments featured in this song?
Yeah, in this song, not necessarily this song. We've got mainly basic guitar and octave mando, but in a lot of our other songs, we like to throw in some kind of strange instruments. Like I like to play a melodica in a lot of my tunes. And if you don't know what a melodica is, it's like a little keyboard. It looks like a child's keyboard, but you blow into it. So it gives you a sound of like an accordion almost, and sometimes a harmonica.
Right. And I think the person I've seen on TV with is John Baptiste,
yes,
who used to do the Stephen Colbert show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looked like a child's toy the first time you saw it. You're like, what's this guy doing?
Right. It doesn't look like it should be real, but it is, and we just like to bring that in.
Such a cool sounding instrument. Yeah.
And the other little thing that we have on Small Plane to Denver, or Denver, that you're going to hear is listen for something called a vibraslap.
Okay. Is that the...
Yep.
It's the rattlesnake thing?
Bang it, and it goes...
I think I played one of those in a school play one time.
So we've got one of those in this song, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of guitars and stuff in there. And, you know, I've been trying to work my way through some Pro Tools stuff and learning more and more about that.
It's a deep, cavernous dive.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, there's a lot to learn.
All right, well, we're going to hear Stone and Tumble, Darla and Randy, sing their song Denver, and we'll get back to the regular programming here in just a little bit.
On a small plane to Denver, there's a lady with a Bible in her hand. She said she was afraid to fly, clutched the book and closed her eyes. And she prayed it was safe enough to land. On a small plane to Denver, praying